Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Yesterday at breakfast, as some of our family, our guys, were just sharing their heart and sharing some of the testimony that God had given them just because of the deliverances and the power of God to change their lives that's worked in our lives as a family, I was impressed by the fact that we have a family that knows what it is to be delivered from the power of Satan and death and sin. And that is an awesome blessing, to be in a family that knows the power of God. Not just because we read what God did for somebody else, but because of what God has done for us. And so when we speak the Word of God and we pray over one another, we're praying out of personal experience that this is the God that we serve. Amen. Amen. Father, I ask that you would open our hearts for the next few moments as we look into your Word before we break bread. We will celebrate as the family of God today. We want to celebrate in remembrance of what you've done for us, and we will. Thank you, Father, for guiding the words and the thoughts that are spoken by your Spirit in Jesus. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is on the top of my notes this morning. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel of Jesus Christ. There are many people that are ashamed of Christ, and there are many that are boasting in things that they know not of. Proverbs 28 is a Proverbs I go to on occasion, verse 1, and you will probably remember this. I will quote it from the King James translation, though I have a different translation in front of me. But it says something like this: the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. I want to recognize all of you who are bold as a lion this morning. Monday nights as we get together, Bill puts the armor on for us. And we find that, of course, in the Word of God, where we are to put on the full armor of God. And I'd ask you to join me there in Ephesians. We're going to go there. That's chapter 6. And every week we, as a group of men, read through this. There's a couple points that I want to just bring your attention to. We're in Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to drop down to verse 10. Be strong in the Lord's mighty power. Look at somebody and say, be strong. Be stronger in the Lord's mighty power. Scripture talks about the last days, how the enemy amp up his activity because he knows his time is short. Because the enemy's time is short, and because you and me, we are living in those end times, we are experiencing an increase of the enemy's attack on us personally, on our families, on our relationships, on our finances. The enemy is attacking. So be stronger in the Lord this morning. Put on all of God's armor. And immediately maybe you're thinking about that picture you saw on the wall, maybe in children's ministry, or maybe you've seen it on YouTube and you see the picture of the helmet and the shield and the sword and the chest breastplate and the shins and the feet. And you're thinking about all of that when you read this passage, put on all of God's armor. But I'm going to ask you to go with me a little further than just putting on exterior armor this morning before we leave in the next few moments. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, where it says, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The power that we receive is not in a physical piece of weaponry that we put on. It's not part of it. It's not something we can see when we look at each other this morning. But when the Holy Spirit comes in us and fills us and baptizes us and transforms us, there is an internal fortitude and presence of God that the enemy cannot miss. He has your address. He has my address as well. It goes on to address this, for it says we're not fighting against, what's the King James say? Flesh and blood. New Living Translation says we're not fighting against people made of flesh and blood. Who are we fighting against? Evil rulers, authorities, principalities, powers, and rulers, right? Evil rulers, authorities of the unseen world, against those mighty powers of darkness who rule this world, and against wicked spirits in the heavenly realms. So that's the battlefield. That's one of the battlefields. We do have a spiritual battlefield, but we also have a physical battlefield. In fact, let me ask you something. When you read this passage, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and rulers in high places, how many of you are mindful of the fact that within your own flesh and blood, how many of you live in a house of flesh and blood? You say, man, that's me. How many of you ever had the devil attack you in your flesh and blood? You've been under attack. You've suffered attack. You've had attack on your mind. You've had an attack in your family. You've been up at night praying and seeking God. You've had physical attacks, many of you. You've experienced miracles. You've experienced the power of God. And so we read this and we see that. And as I was doing some research, I came across some that were saying, well, this is a passage of Scripture that speaks to the church that we are to basically pray and wait upon God. Well, Jesus told the disciples to watch and pray so they would not enter into temptation. I understand that. But there is another part that we find in this passage, and it actually gets physical. And so it's not just spiritual, and it's not just about praying. It's also about you physically taking a stand in your house, on your property, in your car, with your checkbook, with your family members, taking a physical stand for God that represents the spiritual stand that is inside of your life. Look at this passage. We're not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against those mighty powers of darkness who rule this world, and against wicked spirits in the heavenly realms. And then verse 13, use every piece of God's armor to resist the enemy in the time of evil, so that after the battle you will still be doing what? That sounds physical, doesn't it? So the illustration is there are natural aspects of security and protection that we understand. The military will have those. The soldiers had those. But there is an internal fortitude that's established by the indwelling presence of God Himself that equips us and strengthens us and enables us to have the spiritual fortitude to not be shaken by what we face on the outside. Use every piece of God's armor to resist the enemy in the time of evil, so that after the battle you will still be found doing what? Standing firm. Verse 14, stand your ground. You can't stand my ground, but you can stand your ground. Where is your ground? It's wherever you walk. God said to Abraham, wherever you walk, take authority over that. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to your family. How many of you know they're still fighting for it? They haven't fully received it yet. And the enemy would tell us on some occasions, well, you've never seen God move in that kind of a way. You hear some testimony go, you never seen God move in that kind of a way. You've never experienced that kind of miracle. You don't know God like that. God doesn't work in you like that. But let me tell you something this morning. In the power of God that's living inside of you, everything in the Word of God that's yea and amen is yours for the taking. But we have to stand. We have to stand. I found out something about the enemy. He will not quit lying. He will not quit boasting. He will not quit bragging. He will not quit stepping on your toes. He will not stop poking his dirty, stinking finger in your chest and saying, you're a loser. I love it, Jim. You know who you are. You know where you're going. You know where Amy is. We know what we know by the grace of God. And so, yes, put on the armor. Some people think that is alone in grabbing the Word of God, reading the Word of God, praying in the Spirit, singing psalms, worshiping. It is all of that. But it's also deep down inside, having settled it, that you're not selling out. You're not going back. You're going to follow God with everything that is in you. So we see this in the Word of God, that we're challenged. We look at the various aspects, the truth, belt of truth, body armor of God. Stand your ground. Stand your ground. Your shoes put on peace that comes from the good news. 16, in every battle you will need faith. Your shield. Stop the fiery arrows. Put on a helmet of salvation. Take the sword of the Spirit. And at all times do what? Pray. At all times. Pray at all times. On every occasion. Pray in what? Your strength? How about praying in the power of the Holy Spirit? Operative faith. Pray in expectation. Stay alert. Be persistent in your prayers for all Christians everywhere. I have to tell you, I do like the King James because it says, "And having done all, just stand." Had a gentleman come into my office several years ago and he said, "Pastor, I can't find a job." He said, "I'm praying and God's not giving me a job." I said, "Well, tell me about that." He said, "Well, no one wants to pay me what I'm worth." None of you thought that before. So he's with the Lord today, so I can pick on him a bit. I said, "How did you come up with an opinion of what you're worth?" He said, "Well, I'm worth a whole lot more than what they're willing to pay me." I said, "Well, how about doing something biblical?" He said, "What's that?" "How about being faithful in least?" That's a biblical principle. "He that is faithful in least, God will give you more." He said, "Yeah, well, I don't think that's going to work." I said, "Okay, Saturday morning, I want you to meet me 6 o'clock in the morning. That means you're going to have to get up at 5 o'clock. I want you to get up early. I want you to get every piece of junk around your house. We're going to pack your car. I'm going to pack mine. You're going to meet me at the flea market, and you're going to make $300 today." "Well, I can't do that. I don't know how to do it." I said, "Pack your junk up, bring it. Anything you're not using, pack it up, get it in your car. We're renting a table for $10, and you're going to make $300 today." He didn't want to do it. I leaned on him and said, "You have to do it, because God will provide for you if you will give God something to work with." Many people want God to do everything for them, but they give God nothing to work with. And so when I read this passage and it talks about getting dressed in the armor of God and being fully dressed and prepared and then having done everything, that's talking about me. Hey, McLean, you do what you know how to do. Do what God has called you to do. Stand in the place where I called you to stand and be diligent, be responsible. And do your best with everything that I've given you to do. Then I will show up. A lot of people, "Well, God just doesn't answer my prayers." Well, are you showing up? Hello. Y'all are just looking at me this morning. Amen. It's an exciting message. So back a few weeks ago, as we were under the threat of our county, on one morning in my quiet time, I was just thinking before God and praying. And I jotted this down. Who are the demons, the principalities and the powers and the rulers in high places and in government offices that are mocking my God's ability to provide for me? Who are they? Who are the enemies that's boasting and bragging and standing against you in your walk with God? And I went on to write, "I will continue to trust in you, Father, for the body of Christ, for the family, for the finances, for the victory that is coming, and for the construction and the building of the house of God, the work of the Lord on Willoughby. Today I praise you," and I went through a whole list of people. "I'm thanking God for miraculous intervention and healing and deliverance in their lives. And of course, for my own family, it's appropriate to do all of that." And you may say, "Well, I already prayed about some of these things before. I have some family members. There's some situations that seem to be unreachable, untouchable." I want to encourage you this morning to do what Jesus did. Jesus, when he was in the garden and he was facing the greatest manifestation of evil in his entire lifetime, he did something. He went into prayer. And he prayed the same prayer how many times? 3 times. I know there's some that say, if you really believe God, you only need to pray 1 time. I'll say, amen, that's fine. But if you live in a in a physical body like I do, the devil doesn't just knock one time. The devil knocks and knocks and knocks and knocks and knocks. And I want to make sure every time the enemy shows up that I'm going to be declaring the word of God. And Jesus would end up saying, even though, Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me, but nevertheless, your will be done. If you have to pray that 1,000 times in one day to be standing in your faith and in your victory and having done everything, then pray it 1,000 times. You're not communicating to God that you don't believe Him. You're communicating to the devil that you will not receive His report. But you're going to stand in the report of God because God's Word is true. God's Word is true. I'd like you to go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I told you what was at the top of my page. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul deals with some issues in his life, and we deal with some issues as well. He addresses those in this chapter. Verse 3, he says, "But I fear that somehow you will be led away from your pure and simple devotion to Christ." He's talking to the Corinthian church. He's saying that even in his day, back a couple thousand years ago, he was concerned that though they had been introduced to the Lord, that they might lose their focus and be distracted. Paul saying, "I'm concerned that somehow you'll be deceived." He talks about the super apostles. Verse 6, he said, "I may not be a trained speaker," but we know the Apostle Paul was one of the most brilliant men of his day. And yet, he had a lot of attack against him, even within the church. Verse 7, he said, Did I do wrong when I humbled myself and honored you by preaching God's good news to you without expecting anything in return? He's saying, I didn't come looking for money. I came looking to bring you life. Are you going to criticize me because I was single-focused? That I was there for just one reason. I wasn't interested in building my house. I was interested in building God's house. Then he goes on and he talks about the false apostles in verse 13. They have fooled you by disguising themselves as apostles. Then in verse 17 he says, such bragging is not something the Lord wants. But I'm acting like a fool. Verse 18, and since others boast about their human achievements, I will too. When I read this scripture, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I see in it there is a surrender that Paul makes to God. I am going to boast in my God. You're not going to shut me up. I'm going to stand, I'm going to witness, and I'm going to speak the word of God. I'm going to boast in Him. I'm not ashamed. But here in this passage, we see where he has been pulled off balance a little bit, and he's now defensive, and he's trying to defend himself. He said, since others boast about their human achievements, I will too. And after all, you who think you're so wise enjoy listening to fools. You will put up with it when they make you their slaves, and they take everything you have, and they take advantage of you. This was just, you know, this was just ministry and what Paul was facing. And this was long before we had all of the accusations about the planes, the trains, and the automobiles, and the wealth, and the, as one automotive shop I went to, he had a big airplane with a bank on it, and on the front, he had a place, please make donations so I can buy my next plane. He was mocking some of the evangelists, and I'm not going to touch them. I'm just going to say the Apostle Paul said, I want you to know it's not about money. The kingdom of God must be preached in its purity. But he got frustrated. He got upset. They were attacking him. And we see this in him. And he starts boasting on his own. And this is what happens if we put our own armor on. Only the Holy Spirit can really clothe us with the armor spiritually that we need. And he goes through a whole listing of things. I don't even want to tarry with all of it. But he says, whatever they dare to boast about, I'm talking like a fool again, I can boast too. They say they're Hebrews, so am I. They say they're Israelites, so am I. They're descendants of Abraham, so am I. They say they serve Christ. I know I sound like a madman. And then he talks about all that he's went through. He talks about being beaten, facing death, having lashes 3 times with rods, being stoned 3 times shipwrecked. And he goes through all of these things. And then he says, I face danger from men who claim to be Christians but are not. Verse 27, I've lived with weariness and pain and sleepless night, and often I have been hungry and thirsty and have gone without food. Then besides all of this, I have the daily burden of all the churches, how the churches are getting along. But then we get to verse 29, and Paul says, who is weak without me, without my feeling that weakness? Who is led astray, and I do not burn with anger? Paul boasts about all this stuff. He's sort of comparing his pedigree. And then I believe the Holy Spirit is saying to Paul, but you know where your strength comes from. Strength is in the Lord. Your strength is in the Lord. And he said, if I must boast, I would rather boast about the things that show what? How weak I am. God the Father of our Lord Jesus, who is to be praised forever, knows I tell the truth. And he talks about how he was delivered. He talks about his life, talks about his struggle. He lays it all out. But he ends up saying, I'm going to boast in my weaknesses because that is where God always shows up. Chapter 9, 1 Corinthians verses 27 and following, Paul talks about running a race. That his journey with God is much like one who's preparing, as one who's preparing to run in the Olympics or be involved in the Olympics. That it demands a focus, it demands a commitment, it demands discipline in your life. And Paul speaks to that, the importance of preparing for eternity, and that we need to make preparation every day to be ready to meet God. And Paul addresses that. We only get to run this race one time. We need to exercise self-control. And Paul even says in that passage, he says, my flesh gets in the way sometimes. Maybe your flesh is more perfect than the Apostle Paul's. But the Apostle Paul said, I have to bring my flesh into submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Lest after I have preached to others, I myself become a castaway. What is Paul saying? Paul is saying, I've been running this race a while. I've been through a lot of things. I struggle sometimes. Don't think it's weak for you to struggle sometimes, because we face an enemy that's very real that faces the church. But Paul said, I will boast in the Lord, and he says, I will bring my body under. I will, actually he uses the word, to beat it into submission. He literally is saying, I'm going to allow the power of God to keep this flesh surrendered to the Lordship of Christ so that he can be seen and he can be glorified in my life. We're going to break bread in just a moment. There's a lot of boasting going on right now in our world. I look at the boast of whoever sending messages out of Iran. I don't know who's releasing those messages. But I hear those messages that they're winning, that they're doing really great, that the United States is failing. And I even hear some of our news reporters in this nation saying the same thing they're saying in Iran. And as I was in prayer this week and thinking about today, repeatedly I was pulled into the Word of God to think about the fact that we face the boast of the enemy as well. In 1 Samuel we have the story of David. You remember the whole army of Israel is held captive by fear because of one giant who came out and boasted. Every day for 40 days he's boasting. And he's attacking the God of Israel, and the king and all the army are quaking with fear because the enemy has seized their attention and their focus. But thank God there was a shepherd that had not been polluted and deceived by the lies of the devil. Church, listen, we need to understand the times we live in. We have midterm elections coming up that the church needs to be informed and understand the issues and understand the significance and importance of showing up and voting. We only have about 50% of the confessing church that show up and vote. And then we say, why do we have a mess in our land? Why do we have so much abuse? Why do we have so much trafficking? Why do we have so much drugs? Why do we have so many homeless families? Why do we have such a mess? Why do we have leaders to let this go on? It has gone on because the church has been silent. Not you. not you. So Goliath, he was a big mouth for the devil right out of the pit of hell. He is blaspheming and boasting against the God of Israel. If you remember what David said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that dares to come against my God?" And I want to encourage you this morning, wherever the devil shows up, I want to encourage you to speak up and stand up and have your armor on the inside and on the outside, and be willing to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Because we need Davids that will stand up right now in America. Any of you notice there was another attempt against our president's life? Do you think that's accidental? Do you think that's the last potential attempt? Do you think that the enemy's going to go on vacation now? Well, that failed, so I guess I'll quit picking on the president. I guess I'll quit picking on Pastor Jonathan and that church that has that big piece of land over there that we want. We praise God for every victory, but we are going to be awake and aware that there is a serious spiritual battle in America to destroy this nation, to destroy our kids, to destroy the educational system, to destroy our families, and to come against the church, and to destroy anyone that's standing up for biblical truth. Hello. David only needed 5 stones and he knew what to do with it. When I was thinking about Saul, Saul said, "Hey, come with me. I'm going to help you put your armor on." Saul tries to dress him in his armor. He's got to get dressed in, you know, all that military gear. He puts it all on, just like in the pictures where you see it, where the book of Ephesians, where it says, "Put on the full armor of God." You know, you see all that, and Saul had all that, but it was natural, not spiritual. David put that on, and when he walked, it sounded like a junkyard. None of it fit. It rattled, it banged, I know it did. And I don't think David had to walk around but like one time. It'd sort of be like you trying on a tuxedo, you know, and you're looking in the mirror and go, "That doesn't work," and "That doesn't work," and, "Well, let me try this side." "That doesn't work," and, "No, that doesn't work." David said, "This doesn't work." And you may not have the education, the scientific background. You may not be able to argue your case. You may not feel qualified, but the Holy Spirit inside of you qualifies you as a messenger of Jesus Christ. And you are on mission. And I want to encourage you, pick up your stones and carry them with you and be ready to fight for the kingdom of God wherever the devil shows up, and take a stand.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly."
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Experience resurrection life.
The kingdom of God is an instrument, and it dictates a time, place, and position within you, which reflects the dominion that God has given you.
No more church as usual. Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. Visit us in person at 405 Exoria Avenue in Fort Pierce, or online at trbanks.com.